Let me tell you why.
K-A-Y-T, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blunt Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
If you will get your Bibles, stand to your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this privilege, Lord, to hear your word. We pray that you would meet us in the text, tailor the truth we're teaching, that every hearer's heart might not only hear your word, but heed your word. And oh God, we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor as you give to us the prophet of your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you. If you will turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. No unfamiliar verse of scripture in verse 15 to us, but I want us to look at this again because the Spirit of the Lord is moving upon my heart to share this with us so that we would have the understanding necessary to represent Christ the way that we ought to. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. How do you represent Christ? How do you represent Christ? Well, I think it's important that we look at this verse and we see some principles in this verse that we need to practice in order to be profitable in representing Christ the way that we ought to. Now, every person who's born again, born of the Spirit of God, as they have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, have a hope now in them of eternal life being a part of their experience and their existence because of the perfect work of Calvary through Jesus Christ. You are saved as you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to wait till you die to have this assurance. But by the same reality, you are called now as a representative of Christ in the earth realm, recognizing that every day and every opportunity that you live and experience all that God allows to come your way, you represent Him now in this earth realm, and you are designed now to be a mouthpiece for Him, to be a witness unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Your salvation was not unto yourself. Your salvation or being saved was so that God might use you to help save others. Amen. God doesn't just use preachers and evangelists and people who present the gospel as in a sermonic presentation to bring about salvation. Witnesses of the work of Jesus Christ of and in themselves are bona fide representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ to spread the gospel. In other words, if you are saved, you're qualified to help save. I said, if you are saved, you are qualified to help save. See, one of the things you need to realize is, and it is simple, it is that sheep reproduce sheep. I'm the shepherd. I don't reproduce sheep. It is my job as shepherd to teach you as sheep how to multiply yourselves. I'm a shepherd. I produce shepherds. Y'all catch that when y'all wake up. I produce those like me, those who present the gospel and then ultimately will go on to pastor the churches, etc., and do the things of the pastorate. But it is your job. It's your job when you get this word to go back to your homes, to go back to your jobs, to go back to your neighborhoods, to go back to your relationships, to go back to those areas that you hail from and take this gospel and use it for the glory of God. You see, it's important for you to recognize that it is through the transmission of the gospel that you've received that you bring it back to those who are like you, or who shall become like you. And so it is your responsibility to know how to share the gospel. You look at this and you think about this. God saved you, but He didn't kill you. Now, the best time to have killed you would have been right after He saved you, because you wouldn't have had a chance to sin again. Y'all looking strange at me. Well, let me just take a little test right quick. How many of you have been saved for a little while? Okay. How many of you have sinned so many times you can't count since you've been saved? That's my point. Don't you think you should have been killed right after He saved you? But He didn't do that. And you're going to discover there's a reason for Him not doing that. Number one, because of His love, His deep, great, and abiding love. When He saved you, He knew what you were when He saved you. Now, His desire was to change your nature, but even in changing your nature, you're still wrapped up in the flesh. Being wrapped up in the flesh, you're still subject to fits of the flesh outside of the spirit. And because we do not walk in the spirit 24/7, unfortunately, the moment the spirit is not indwelling us and leading us, or we're not yielded to Him, then we are subject to the flesh and the powers of the flesh. Just because you're saved don't mean you've lost your mind. Just because you've been saved from your past don't mean that you're not reminded many times of your past. Just because you moved from your past don't mean that all of your past has moved from you. Can I just keep it real with some of us in here today? You might not have done some stuff long, but it don't mean that you don't remember what you used to. You might not go some of the places you used to go, but it don't mean you don't know where they are. Y'all acting holier than thou now. So why didn't He just kill you when He saved you? It would have been better off. You wouldn't have had to worry about no more sin. But there is a reason for that. Because it is to show His love is so great in you, and He's given you a grace and a mercy that will allow you in your imperfect state to know the perfect love of God and His Son and the power of His Spirit to keep you keep you from falling. I mean, in a continual state of downward spiral, we might slip and fall, but he catches us. And he picks us back up. Anybody has ever fallen since they've been saved and been picked back up again? More than one time, more than two times. You get my point here? And so when you go to an imperfect world and you talk about a perfect God with a perfect love who has given it to an imperfect person and people, and they're able to see you and see the changes in you and know, no, you're not perfect yet. But you have changed. And that you are steadily changing and being rearranged. And sometimes, listen at this, the changes are so subtle sometimes that you wonder many times if you have really changed. But little by little, staying with him, staying in the Word, allowing the Spirit to guide you and teach you, you begin to see that though you still miss it, you don't miss it as much. And you don't miss it as bad. And you know that God is dealing with you and he's still rearranging you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So all of this is a part of understanding. First thing is that you have to have a Christ-centered dedication. A Christ-centered dedication. Look at the verse again. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And the word sanctify means to set apart, to hallow, to consecrate. Now notice this here, because this is important. It says to consecrate the Lord God in your hearts. To set aside the Lord God, to hallow the Lord God in your hearts. To dedicate yourself, if you will, to having the Lord God live in your hearts. It's got to be a dedication. But the way you begin to dedicate yourself is first a recognition of the saving grace of Christ as Lord. A recognition of the saving grace of Christ as Lord. Now, because it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, it's your responsibility in being dedicated. Because this consecration is not something that happens once in a lifetime. It is a continual process of making yourself worthy. When you mess up, when you slip, when you fall, he picks you back up. But when he picks you back up and cleanses you and rearranges you, forgives you, you then set aside again that place in your heart. Now, this is not a license by any stroke of the imagination for sin, but the truth of the matter is we do. And so there must be a sanctification. There must be a place in our hearts and in our lives where we consecrate it to God. And as we continue to focus on him and desire him, we are led by his Spirit in those things that glorify him. And as we do this for his glory, this dedication to make him Lord of our lives. He is Lord, but he doesn't necessarily have to be Lord of our lives, because that's a free volitional reality. In other words, that's where we yield our will to him. So first, after we recognize him as Lord and the saving grace of him as our Savior, then we must resign ourselves to that fact. See, just knowing he's Lord is one thing. Yeah. Resigning ourselves to that fact is another thing. In other words, he can do all things, but he don't have to do all things in our lives. He's got all power, but he doesn't have to use that in our lives. So the truth of the matter is, once we have a Christ-centered dedication, once we recognize that we are given to the Lord Jesus Christ in recognizing that he's Lord, we then to resign that he is Lord. Once we do that, then we must have not only a Christ-centered dedication, but we must have a Christ-centered education. Now that's a major thing for you to know, because you've got a whole lot of people who have been schooled in the world system and have, you know, much knowledge as it relates to the world and certain subjects, etc. And that is wonderful, that is necessary, but that does not help you in Christian reality. Know that. know that. So that means very simply then, if you've got to have a Christ-centered education, it means that you've got to have academic training, which means specialized training in the area of the Word. And for our ministries, we have it through Sunday school, we have it through BTU, we have it through Bible school, and those who desire more go through seminaries, etc. But it's specialized training. When you come to Bible study, you ought to learn something about the Bible. When you come to Sunday school, you ought to learn something about the Word of God through Sunday school. When you go through the Baptist Training Union, same thing, you learn the Word and you're trained in principles and practices of the believers. So all of this is specialized training from the Word of God. And so you must recognize that it is important to understand the Word. You've got to get the Word. The wisdom is the Word of God. The Word of God is His wisdom. But just because you have it, many of you have bought the Word, but you've not gained the wisdom. See, you've got the wisdom in your hand, but you don't have the understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. But in all you're getting, get understanding. How different would our lives be if we truly understood the principles of this Word and then practiced them, understood the wisdom of this Word and then walked in them? And then the reality of this Word is God will show us how to handle every situation that comes up, everything that the enemy would desire to do to us, and even after he has done what he's desired, God will show us how to undo it. God will show us how to take what he has meant for evil and turn it into good. God will show us how he allows these things, not always for the devil, a benefit in trying to overcome you, but in his ability to develop you. God many times allow what the enemy is doing in you, to you, through you, and throwing at you to make you all that God wants you to be. Don't think you're going to get developed without exercise. You can't think yourself into fitness through osmosis. You can't read a magazine, look at a picture and say, I desire to be like that by looking like that. No, you're going to discipline yourself, exercise yourself, watch what you eat, watch how you drink, watch what you sleep, how you sleep, and what you do. All these things help and they aid in making you the developed creature that you desire to be. You can't look and think yourself into what you want to be. You're going to have to practice it. I think myself thin. I think myself muscular. How many of you think that's going to work? Okay. Well, you got to train. Okay. Well, the teaching part comes first because that's important, because you've got to realize that the academics of this studying of the Word, which is so important, that's why Paul says to young Timothy, 2 Timothy 2 and 15, study to show thyself. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now you got to realize, as a sheep too, and you get in this word, and God uses the word that's in you to share with others, you have got to know the word enough to be able to share it, to divide it truthfully, to not take it out of content or context. Take the content that is meant to be in a perfect context and explain it out of that, not taking it and making it what you think it ought to be. Exegesis is when you go into the word and pull out the meaning of the word. Eisegesis is when you go in and put what you wanted to mean in. And I dare say that some of us dearly think that we are exegeting the text many times when we are eisegeting the text. And if the text can't speak for itself, then you ain't got nothing to say. Let God's word be true and all men liars. I don't have to make the word appealing to you. I don't have to make the word sweet to you. I don't have to water the word down, and I don't have to make the word what the word is not to appeal to you. That's not my job. My job is to give it to you like God has given me to give to you, so that when you pick it up, you see the same thing that God is saying to you, because his word is not going to change. Now, God meets us where we are, and yet what is so profound about the Word of God is everything that is in the Word, but everything that is to come out of the Word has not yet come out of the Word. That's why if you continue to study the Word, you get deeper and deeper into the Word, to the revelation, to the illumination of the Word. That's why it's so important to study consistently. And then you must have systematic training. Not just academic learning or training or teaching, but systematic training. Well, there must be a constant, consistent system to your study. Some people go to certain events every year to better themselves, polish themselves, to add to. Sorry is the man or woman who thinks that just because they've graduated from seminary or from some Bible college, etc., that they don't need continuing education, continuing fellowship with those who have learned and gleaned more. I mean, one of the things that's so important is, and it is so necessary, as the Word says, iron sharpens iron. So when you get with some folk who know the Word, and when you get in a fellowship with some folk who are students of the Word, who search the Word like the Bereans do, you begin to get more in depth, and you find yourself getting a whole lot more. You don't know it all.
That's it.
You don't have it all. But you will get with brothers and sisters who've been given a certain illumination, and they share that with you, and that enhances your knowledge and your ability through systematic training. We go to our local associations, our state conventions, our national conventions, and other seminars, etc., many times during the year to continuously open our minds to new elevated thoughts and illumination about the Word of God. That's what all of us who are in training go to training for, to get more.
That's right.
To be able to utilize what we do have in a way that's going to produce more fruit. And sometimes there are some things that you learn that may be a part of subtraction to your ministry rather than addition to your ministry. Sometimes you can go and learn you're doing the wrong thing, doing it the wrong way. Well, we've been doing it like this for so many years, that's the problem. Maybe you need to learn that when they started off doing it like that, that was good for that time. But times have progressed from that time, and there are new revelations and new realities that those times no longer fit. And so you've got to be able to do the things now that meet the needs of those you're ministering to now.
Yeah.
See, once upon a time, it wasn't but a few folk in the church who could read. And even the preacher who couldn't read would get with folk who could teach him some stuff, and he had a good memory. And he'd open up the Word and he'd read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten." Yeah, real, huh? And you know, you go on with all that. And in 5 minutes, he'd be, "Whoa, Lord." And people start flipping beans, pews, clapping and shouting. Because it, listen again, and I'm not making fun, I'm giving you some truth here. It's because that's all they had. And so more than anything, he would inspire them, and then the Spirit of God would give him revelation on what he did have. And so out of that reality, he was able to bless the people he ministered to. But let that preacher today come and preach to you. He started moaning and groaning before he's explained the text. You're going to look at him like, what are you doing? You see, listen, it doesn't matter whether you moan it out, scream it out, talk it out, or however, long as you get it out, God's going to do what he needs to do through that word. Every preacher doesn't present the word the same way, but if he's presenting, the word is going to have the effect regardless of his presentation. I keep telling folks, the Word of God, I mean, the essence of it will not change. It's just like chicken. I mean, you know, chicken is chicken. But you can barbecue it, you can fry it, you can smother it, broil it, stew it. Y'all know what y'all can do with chicken. But the essence is still what?
Chicken.
It's just done a different style. And that's what preaching is. It's the gospel. It's just done with different styles. And some folk can't take all of that shouting. And some folk can't take that monotone. Brothers and sisters, the Lord said such and such and such. Such and such and such. and tone never changed. Some people can't take that. But God meets you. Preaching is truth plus personality. So that's why when you get the truth, you need to allow God to use your personality.
That's right.
Because do you not know there are some people just like you God wants you to reach?
Yes.
You know what? I'm going to let y'all in on a secret. I'm a black man. I was born black. I was reared black. I looked in the mirror this morning. I'm still black. Now, I'm making a point here. I've been invited to preach at white churches. And when I got there, listen at this, they were not expecting a white preacher. Matter of fact, when they invited me because of the preaching I preach in my church. And so when I got in that church, I didn't try and preach like them. And because I didn't try to preach like them, God used the word and the work that he had given to me to reach them in a different way than they were able to reach them, because I was being real. Now listen at this. Now you know what folk can handle. They can't handle all of it. So I ain't give them all of it. But I gave them what they could handle. And they shouted on that. And I'm just trying to tell you, preaching is truth plus personality. You need to be who you are. God's going to use, when you are not who you are not being real to you. God called you to use you, and he used you with the truth that he put in you. So be you and watch God be glorified in the process. I've got a certain amount of animation to me. I wanted to be a comedian. Could have been a singer. Could have been a singing comedian. But God said, I tell you what, if you preach for me, I'll let you sing and do a few jokes. Say, hey, God, you can't be that. I like that. I like that. You know, and so I'm just trying to tell you, God will take everything that he's given you, everything that he's placed in you, and that with proper training, teach you how to maximize that to win folk. The Bible says, a merry heart, translated laughter, doeth good like a medicine. So some preachers in their natural lives don't laugh much. Scientifically, it is proven how profitable laughing is to the body, how it releases endorphins in the mind, a feel-good substance that makes you feel good, de-stresses you. That's why I just look at some of y'all and bust out laughing. And you wonder what I'm laughing at. Well, I do it to myself sometimes. So if I do it to me, you know I ain't got no pity on you. Sitting up there looking all mad like a bulldog. I'm like, God, why you woke them up this morning? But since that ain't my call, they're here. I got to preach to them this morning. You know? I mean, just don't ever smile. Ain't got no joy in their life. Try to kill the joy in other folk. I don't like to be around folk like that. But if I have to be around them, I'm going to at least try and be happy while I'm around them, too. If they want to be all stuck up and messed up, that's them. I ain't got to be like them. And then I discovered if they want to stay like that, I ain't got to look at them. But they're going to hear what I got to say, and if they don't, that's on them. Give you what God gave. So that's important to understand. You got to have a Christ-centered education. But the last thing I want to tell you is you've got to have a Christ-centered presentation. Christ-centered presentation. Start off with a Christ-centered dedication, move on to a Christ-centered education, and then lastly, a Christ-centered presentation. Now, why is that important? Because look at the text again. I want you to see this. Now, when Peter talks about this, nobody better than Peter can discuss this because of his walk and his work with the Lord Jesus Christ. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, you can't be ready always unless you are always ready. Now, what makes you always ready? When you have enough knowledge of what you're talking about and the experience that you're trying to convey. It's more than just a testimony. It is the truth upon which your salvation rests.